Welcome to Wards of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
Our broadcast today is entitled Christ, Our Sacrifice. Throughout the Bible, from Cain and Abel to the temple worship of ancient Israel, we repeatedly encounter sacrifices and offerings presented unto God. You have bulls and goats, lambs and doves, all offered upon the altar for generations. But why is that? What did all of those sacrifices mean? And why does the New Testament teach that Jesus is the fulfillment of them all? Today we want to explore the history and purpose of sacrifice in Scripture, culminating in the perfect offering of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, and then consider the sacrifices believers are called upon to offer even today. Here is today's message, Christ, Our Sacrifice. I feel certain that we know what a sacrifice is. If you're a Bible reader or you're a churchgoer, you're undoubtedly familiar with the notion of a sacrifice or sacrifices. It's something that is crucial to the main theme of the Bible itself, something that you can't get but a few pages into the Bible before you find, and then you would continue to see sacrifices and what was to be sacrificed developed throughout the Old Testament. Even though you probably know what it means, I'm going to do the subject justice and try to define it for you, because one thing I've learned as a preacher is that you cannot expect everyone to know the definitions of words that you find in the Bible, and the preacher sought out acceptable words. We give the sense of the text, so I want to define this word for you as we begin our message today. First of all, a sacrifice is an act, and listen to this, of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to God or to a divine or supernatural figure. That's not the Bible definition of sacrifices, and that's not what sacrificing will look like in our discourse today. But one thing we'll consider is that in human cultures outside of the Old Testament, they sacrifice things other than animals. One of the most horrific things that we've discovered as we, our archaeologists, have excavated South America is abundant evidence of human sacrifice. But the way that most of us use the word sacrifice each and every day is the second definition of that: to give up something important or valued for the sake of other considerations. And this is the prevalent definition in our usage of the word today. If a person has to reach a compromise, or maybe they have to trim the budget, or they're trying to afford one thing, and so they have to cut spending in other areas, it's often said that they'll have to what? They'll have to make sacrifices. That also is one of the definitions that finds itself in biblical usage, especially as we come to the New Testament. This latter usage developed out of the former. Initially, sacrifices were just that, offering an animal to a deity. Of course, this happened to the true and living God, but we know that it also happened to pagan deities around the world, false gods. And because it involves hurt, because it involves loss or doing without things, that word begins to be used later in the way that we primarily use it today. Now, as we talked about law, sacrifices also come with a bit of a sting. If you sacrificed part of your income to support a cause, if you gave a portion of your money to that organization, you made a sacrifice in a sense, and that would be a way that we used it. You took something that you could have used for another purpose, and you used it for something else, and you experienced a little bit of loss because you could have done something else with the money that you spent, or perhaps the time that you spent. And so sacrifices also include a bit of selflessness. As far as what we can sacrifice, in the Old Testament, they sacrifice animals. Now, we mentioned the sting of that. Could they have used those animals that were sacrificed? Certainly they could. In our lives today, one of the things that we can sacrifice is time. Now, when I talked about our resources, I want to be very clear. What you have in your bank, what you have in the bank account of your time you have left on this planet that you will spend. You ever notice we use the word spend with reference to time? We use terms of currency with reference to time. If you spend your time, in your mind, it is your time. But I want you to understand that everything that you have in this world does not belong to you. But you're merely a steward who uses it, and it belongs to God. You're really giving back, if you give it to the right cause, you're really giving back to God what He entrusted you with to begin with. But we sacrifice things such as our time, our money, the items that we have. In the New Testament, there were people who sold houses and lands to give to the church so that the church could support impoverished members in Jerusalem. That was a sacrifice of things that they had and that they could have enjoyed and used. What about our reputations? Do you realize that you can sacrifice your reputation? Now, in our country today, we live in a country where for the past two centuries, it hasn't been scandalous to be a follower of Christ. But in the first century, the men who said, "I believe in Jesus, I will be baptized in His name, I will assemble and worship Him, I will be a part of His church, I publicly profess my faith," those men sacrificed, and those women sacrificed their reputations. It was unpopular to be a Christian. In fact, at times it was illegal to be a Christian. You were not permitted to be a Christian. And if they found you, they would arrest you or they would do worse. Variations of the word offering are also used in Scripture. So if you want to do a word study and you're curious to read all of the sacrifices that are referred to in the Bible, you might add the word offering and the variations of the word offering to that, because a sacrifice is an offering and an offering is a sacrifice. The first passage of Scripture that I want to turn to this morning is found in the book of Genesis chapter 4, and we'll spend a little time here before looking at a brief survey of sacrifices as they're found in Scripture. And I've turned here because this is the very first occurrence of human beings making offerings unto God in Scripture. Genesis chapter 4. Eve conceives in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Genesis, and bare Cain, and said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." It's an interesting way of saying that. I have gotten a man from the Lord. And then she has another child. And this other child's name is Abel. We read in verse 2 that Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering, there's that word, an offering to the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And listen, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, that is to say, full of anger, and his countenance fell. Sometimes theologians and commentators speculate that perhaps Adam had made offerings to God, and he had taught his two sons to do this. And so as they grow, they begin to make offerings as well. And there's no way to prove that. But we do find these young men presenting unto God offerings based upon what it is that they were doing. What was Cain? The tiller of the ground. Abel, however, was a keeper of sheep. And I love that. It's beautiful. Some of the most blessed men all through Scripture were shepherds. He's a shepherd. Abel is a shepherd, and as we begin to dig into the backstory of Cain and Abel and the differences in those two men, it makes sense why one of them is dealing with things of the ground and the other one is depicting even the person of Jesus Christ throughout his life. The answer is found with the principle of grace in his heart, Abel's heart, that makes him a different type of person than Cain. Abel brings of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and as you see here, God had not respect first unto Cain and then unto Cain's sacrifice. And then God has respect unto Abel And then God has respect unto Abel's sacrifice. Cain offers of the earth, it wasn't accepted. Abel offers of his flock, it was accepted. As far as God's respecting of them or not respecting them, that is a plain display of the sovereignty of God. And sometimes as human beings, we don't like the sovereignty of God because we like to believe we're sovereign. We like to believe that we're the commander and controller of the universe. But you see God's sovereignty on display because God had respect unto one of these guys and God did not have respect to the other of these guys. And the difference is the will of God. It's just like with Moses versus Pharaoh or Jacob versus Esau. You see God's sovereignty on display in Cain and Abel. Continuing a little deeper into that thought, as far as Cain and his person, John says in 1 John that Cain was of that wicked one. And so from that statement, we learn that not only is he yet in his sins, but the chief motivation in his life is that wicked one. However, in Hebrews chapter 11, we read the opposite about Abel. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice. By what? By faith. That principle of grace given in the heart. This man is a born-again man. Christ has authored and finished faith in his heart. Christ has been sent into his heart crying, Abba, Father. He knows the Lord. You mean people were knowing the Lord like we know the Lord all the way back in Genesis 4? And serving him by faith? Absolutely, because there's only one scheme of salvation. There's only one way to know God, and that is through Christ. And this man does what he does through the power of Christ in him. By faith he offers unto God an excellent sacrifice. Without faith it is what? Impossible to please him. And yet by faith we are to serve him, and through faith we can do all things. The just shall live by faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith. The difference in Abel is an internal difference. Cain is of that wicked one. Abel offers unto God by faith. Have you ever wondered, why does Abel offer a sacrifice that looks like what Jesus did for us on the cross? It looks like the scheme of salvation. Because Christ lives in Abel, and by faith, Abel does what he does. God is in his heart of a truth. And so Abel offers this sacrifice, and God accepts it. What might be the next person to offer a sacrifice? After the flood in Noah's day, Noah offers a sacrifice. One of the first things he does when he gets off the ark, what's he saying in offering that sacrifice? God, you have spared me. You have spared my wife. The world was full of wickedness. The world was full of violence. Every imagination of the thoughts and intents of man's heart was only evil continually. And so the world was full of violence. And God, you destroyed it with water. And yet you spared, of all the people in the world, me and my wife and my three boys and their three wives. Lord, I just want to thank you by offering this animal to you. He sacrifices. He makes offerings. Throughout the life of Abraham, Abraham would make offerings. Isaac, at least once in Scripture, there's one reference to Isaac making an offering. Jacob would make offerings from time to time, sometimes even going back to holy places in their family, places of significance to them. Job made offerings. I often think about that as a father. Job made offerings on behalf of his children, lest they had sinned, and he didn't know it, to try to intercede as a daddy on their behalf. Moses would be making sacrifices and offerings. And then, as you come into Exodus, we find where God officially prescribes sacrifices and offerings in the law. First of all, they're to offer bulls. These are expensive. They're to offer lambs. They are to offer goats. And because God, and this is a thought I had all week, God takes special care of the impoverished. In the commandments to offer animals, he gave provisions for people who could not afford the bull or the sheep or the goat. They were to offer a turtle dove. You can go out into the woods if you have no money. You're not going to find a bull. You're not going to find a sheep. You may find a goat. But you know what? Any poor person in Israel could go out into the woods and find a dove. God puts a provision in his law to provide for the poor so they too can sacrifice in the form of doves, of turtle doves. Now, this would be a part of the existence of the nation of Israel all through the Old Testament. Sacrifices. It was a very bloody religion. It was a religion where blood is shed in religious offering all the time. Imagine the millions of people in the nation of Israel, and think of all of them bringing bulls and goats and sheep and birds, and all of the blood that was shed in that. Over and over and over through their existence, there is sacrifice. And again, these are bulls that they could have used. These are sheep they could have used. They're goats that they could have used. For thousands of years, this was the case. God prescribes it. God clarifies it. Which leads us to the entire point of God accepting sacrifices throughout the first few thousand years of human history, which is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that men did in worship to any number of fake false gods that the true God did not accept. The true and living God did not accept human sacrifice with the exception of his Son who died for us as a substitution, which we will look at. He offered himself for us. The God of the Bible does not accept the human sacrifice of South America in ancient times. There were things that were done in the Greco-Roman religions that were outright evil. In their temples, the most wicked debauchery would happen as a service to a false deity. So from human sacrifice to lasciviousness, all sorts of things happened in religion. Why did God accept the sacrifice of animals when God doesn't accept all of the other types of worship that had been done in every other religion throughout human history? Well, the answer to that question, it's very simple. Christ. The sacrifices of the animals in the Old Testament point to the sacrifice of Jesus as Jesus gives his life for his people. Throughout the New Testament, and I'll share several passages with you just one after the other, the concept of Christ sacrificing himself for us, becoming an offering to God for us, is repeated. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we read that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That saying that Jesus was the Passover lamb of the New Testament. You remember in the Old Testament, there's this event in Egypt where God is plaguing them. This is the most brutal of the plagues. It's the final of the plagues before Egypt runs Israel out of town. God passes through Egypt that night and he slays all the firstborn of Egypt. God had had it with their obstinance, with their rejection of his commands, their mistreatment of his people, and he was going to pass through, and he took all the firstborn of Egypt. The Israelites, he tells them, go into a house, slay a lamb, take its blood, and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of your house. And if you connect those, it actually forms a cross. And when I pass through Egypt, I will see the blood on the door of the house, and I will pass over in my wrath. That is a picture of redemption. God sees the blood applied to you, and he passes over you in his wrath. According to 1 Corinthians 5:7, Jesus is our Passover that is sacrificed for us. Christ was our Passover lamb. His blood has been applied to us, and because of that, God passes over us in his wrath in the great day of judgment. If I'm counting on my works, I have no hope. If I'm counting on my religion, I have no hope. But if I'm counting on Christ Jesus, I have no reason to fear. My faith and hope is only in Christ and his redemptive work. There is salvation in none other. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself, listen, for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, here's language that you read all through the Old Testament, a sweet-smelling savor. What this means is that God was pleased with the sacrifice that was offered. And there were several different types of offerings that were made. There were offerings that didn't have to do with an animal. You have bread offerings. You have incense that goes up. And as God smells that aroma, or the animal as it is burned following the offering of that animal, it would be a sweet-smelling savor unto him. And what that means is he's pleased to accept the offering. He's pleased with the sacrifice. Jesus Christ has given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Praise God, Jesus was a sweet-smelling savor, a sacrifice that took away sin. And I'll tell you that he's a perfect sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." The animal sacrifices of the Old Testament were made for a remembrance of sin, and they also, as we'll emphasize, pointed to the death of Christ. Christ is concealed in them and then revealed in the New Testament. It is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In those sacrifices, there is remembrance made, but it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me." Jesus is a priest, and this thought has been developed all through the book of Hebrews, but he's not a priest like the priest at the temple. What did they do week in and week out? They bring these bulls in, they slaughter them, they bleed them. It was gross, it was scary, it was sad, it was expensive, it was all the things you could imagine that it would be. But when Jesus came into the world, he didn't come into the world to sacrifice bulls as a priest. He didn't come into the world to sacrifice goats or sheep or turtle doves. Those pointed to his death, but Jesus came into the world. Look at this. "Sacrifice an offering you would not, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me." What Jesus came into the world to sacrifice is his very own body. This brings us to the thought of Christ's substitutionary atonement. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross for us as our substitute. In other words, we are guilty, every one of us, and if you're like, "Well, no, I'm a pretty righteous person," and I would reply that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The only hope that we have is Christ standing in our stead as the perfect man, the God-man, God's only begotten Son, and suffering the penalty that you and I deserved as a sacrifice. Christ dies for us upon the cross. He offers his body to the Father, and the Father accepts that. And by the way, later in Hebrews chapter 10, we read, "By one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." As a grace-changed individual, you have two natures. I'm going to tell you a thing about yourself. You have two natures. You have the nature of Christ in your heart because the Spirit of his Son has been sent into your heart crying, "Abba, Father." His laws are written on your heart. That means you know it's wrong to do things that are sinful from the inside out. But you also have this nature that we call in the Bible the flesh. The flesh has a hunger for that which is wicked. The flesh desires evil. These two natures, according to Paul and Peter, Paul in Galatians 5, Peter in 1 Peter, these natures war against each other. What happens in your mind when these natures begin to war within you is, "Lord, I've done something that's wrong. I know you, I respect you, I believe in you, I know your word, I don't want to do bad things, but I do bad things, I feel terrible, and I feel like if I were to die today, I worry that it's enough." Let me just emphasize this word for you. Beloved, you are sanctified, and if so, by one offering, Jesus has perfected you forever. Though, yes, in this life, until glorification or death, when the body dies, if Jesus comes back, we're glorified. Otherwise, the body dies and its nature goes with it. As long as we're breathing in this world, we have the nature of the flesh. We're going to struggle, but listen, God sees you through the life of his son, Jesus Christ. And he has perfected you forever. Don't you lay down your head on the pillow at night and worry about what's going to happen to you when you die if you know Jesus. You've got no reason to worry and every reason to be assured. And so draw nigh to him. Confess him. Confess your sins. Absolutely. But you are whiter than snow. Your sins have been taken away. You stand redeemed. Jesus perfected forever them that are sanctified by the one offering that he made forever. And the Holy Ghost is a witness of this, as you read in the next verse. Those sacrifices all through the Old Testament, and there are more that I could mention, where our schoolmaster, as Galatians says, to bring us to Christ, Christ was concealed in them and revealed in the New Testament. And so let's spend about 5 minutes talking about how you and I can sacrifice. We know through the example of Abel that whatever we do has to be by what? By faith. I've got to do it by faith. This is why the Word of God tells us not to give, which is one form of sacrifice, not to give begrudgedly. God loves a what type of giver? Cheerful giver. And as we know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. As I mentioned, losing your reputation, are you willing to lose your reputation for the Lord Jesus Christ? We can give cheerfully of our substance, sure. Again, the early church in Jerusalem sold houses and lands. Other Gentile churches gathered funds together to send to regions that were impoverished or to help preachers along their way with their ministerial travels. But I want you to hear Romans chapter 12 and a type of sacrifice that you can make each and every Lord's Day, one that if you are present in worship today, you have made. Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Where did they go to make offerings in the Old Testament? They went to the temple. What did they do? They went to the temple. There's a going to make there. Here's a sacrifice that you make every time you present yourself in the service of God. Not a dying sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. The chief focus of that passage is presenting yourself together in the house of God, offering a living sacrifice unto your God, which brings me to the last passage that I want to read today in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. We read Jesus suffered without the gate, with his own blood for the people in Hebrews 13:12. Let us therefore go unto him outside the camp, without the camp bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know what type of sacrifice you can make to God every single day? You can praise God and offer the fruit of your lips as a sacrifice.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.